Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You know, for 35 some odd years, I've had a lot of faith in the NCAA, and have reacted that way accordingly as a head basketball coach, in the belief in their rules. I thought in the recent past, they've made some great adjustments to the rules that have helped players along the way. I feel, not like everybody here, not only is it unjust, unfair, over the top severe, but I've lost a lot of faith in the NCAA.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Those were the sultry tones of Mr. Clean, Rick Pitino, the head basketball coach at Louisville. Your thoughts on the sanctions being brought down on him and his program for, amongst other things, females for hire for players?
Yeah, it's a bad look. I don't know. I was thinking about this, and I was like, you know, do I blame him? Do I not blame him? You want to hold, like, when a company, like when Enron happens, right? When Enron does what it does, you hold the CEO responsible ultimately. And so I think in some ways you have to do that no matter what when it comes to this. But at the end of the day, how much of it do you hold Rick Pitino directly responsible, or how much do you say, what about the athletic director? What about the AD of the school? At the end of the day, isn't he really the CEO? Rick Pitino might be the VP of basketball operations or VP of basketball, but that athletic director is the CEO. So I get you've got to punish everybody involved. And what is he going to? He's suspended for 5 games.
Five games of conference play.
Yeah,
but that's really
not terrible. I mean, taking away championships to me doesn't mean anything. I think what hurts more is the scholarships and some of the things going forward. But taking away stuff in the past, I mean, let's face it. What's his name that lost the Heisman?
Reggie Bush.
Yeah, that doesn't take away that Reggie Bush had the best, you know, the best season that year, or arguably one of the best seasons that year, and he was deserving of the Heisman Trophy. This doesn't change what they've done in the past. I just want to see how crippling is this going forward for him. And I don't think it should be. It shouldn't be a death penalty. It's bad. But it's not, there's some people out there like, oh, this should be the end, he should be fired. No, he shouldn't. I don't think he should be fired.
I mean, look, there's a couple of things. He's not innocent. For him to come out and bash the NCAA, this is a guy that has a track record, even so much as from an infidelity standpoint, of laying someone out on a table at an Italian restaurant that wasn't his wife a couple years ago. But with this being said, what he's doing with this program, what he's doing, whether, you know, when things are going well and you can look all over, and this isn't the Baylor scandal, but you can look at different colleges that have had different issues that come up. You can't tell me the head coach doesn't know. And you can't tell me that the head coach isn't the first guy that's trying to play the blame game on somebody else. The one guy a couple years ago was already fired, but he was the guy that if it was still going strong and they were getting away with it and it wasn't coming to the forefront, he was a hero in Pitino's book. But he was also there for this exact purpose. Because if they finally found out and he had been had and people started catching on to it, he could deflect all this on one guy's shoulders. This guy goes away. He looks like he's innocent. If it's your program, like you said, I mean, he could be head coach, VP of basketball, he could be whatever he is. You at some point know something's going on. We are not that naive, and this is not that clean of an issue with the NCAA and so many different things that go on in college athletics. But you can't tell me he didn't know.
Oh, he absolutely knew.
Right.
He absolutely knew. These guys, they know everything that goes on. There's, they have, when you think about this, they have, and I don't know how football coaches really do it. That's amazing to me, the systems that they probably have in place to be able to keep tabs of what's going on for a football team. But the, in basketball especially, these guys know. They have their coaches, they have their handlers, their assistants, and everybody else. And they're all reporting back on a daily basis, on a, in weekly meetings. They, he knew.
Why do you think, look, if this was in place and it was getting him McDonald's All-Americans, do you think he's going to tell him to stop?
Well, hell no.
This is, there's a reason why a kid takes all of his visits, even if he already knows from the first visit where he's going. Because he's going to reap the benefits. He's going to go out and he's going to be, you know, coddled. I've told you guys, even with free agency in the NBA, when they get the gifts, players don't ever grow up from that standpoint. They're going to take all the freebies and gifts and coddling that they're going to get. This seems like a little extra coddling, if you know what I mean.
But if you knew, just out of plain devil's advocate here, if you knew, don't you think as his employer, you kind of have to fire him? Like, if you knew all the things that were going on in your team.
If you're that guy, then the minute you know, you fire him before the NCAA and the media finds out. You just say, this is wrong and I got to get rid. But it obviously didn't happen until it came to the forefront, which means he probably knew, but it was getting him recruits and he was keeping his players happy and guys were talking about what a great program it was. Why would, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
I think the other part of it is because he's bothered that of the severity of the punishment, considering the self-imposed sanctions that they put on themselves last year. They took themselves out of the playoffs. And so they felt like, because of the self-imposed sanctions that they put on themselves, that they, you know, they'd find leniency from the NCAA, and they just didn't get it.
Sure, but that's like slap me on the wrist instead of spanking my ass hard. I mean, if we do it to ourselves and we go, you know, moderate, then we in their mind, they should be done with it. But from the NCAA standpoint, they're like, you're not even coming close, brother, for all the stuff that you guys, that we're finding out you guys have done.
So what I'll admit is I don't know the age of all the recruits involved. Because I think that, to me, also weighs in on the severity. If these were kids that were 17 and you're buying them prostitutes, you should be fired. But if these are 18-year-old adults and you're getting them strippers, I don't care about that.
It's a good
that.
Possibility they were 17.
There's a difference, though, to me, with adults and strippers. And then I think the prostitutes, obviously, is a little far. That's going a little, that's a little much. But when you have adults and strippers, I that doesn't bother me at all. But involving prostitutes and the potential of underage recruits, then I think you start looking at fireable offenses. But I'll admit I'm ignorant to the facts of what the, of whether they did that or not. I don't know. And if anyone knows, surely educate me. But I think that would make it more of a fireable offense for me. Otherwise,
can I throw this out?
Okay.
So in this, these cases, don't you normally then get the guys that are, that after the fact and have been through the program, or they're going to speak out? They're going to lash out. But if these guys are happy and they were taken care of, and they also, because they were, but they realize, hey, because of what you're saying, we might have been underage, or we might have been messing with a prostitute. But normally there's guys that want to get back in a program because they've been mistreated. They didn't play. These guys all seem so darn happy. We haven't heard one ex-recruit come out of the woodwork.
All right, so I just found something. It says it was crazy. This is on ESPN because they were talking about, apparently Patino was being pretty stubborn and defiant in his response to it. But it says, it was crazy, a former Louisville player told Outside the Lines in October. It was like I was at a strip club. Then the article says, at least seven of the recruits who engaged in sex acts with women were under the age of 18, according to the report. And one recruit interviewed by the NCAA said a Louisville assistant told the team it had practiced poorly because y'all had strippers in there all night. So that kind of confirms, based on the report, that, yeah, there were some kids under the age of 18. It's bad. That's bad.
But to my point, too, you see what I'm saying? If they were like, is this a Bobby Knight type guy? And this was going on, you would have all these ex-players coming out of the woodwork going, yeah, it was wrong. Yeah, we knew it was going on. Nobody's saying a word because they were
all
pretty fat and happy
from it.
Yeah, during the time. But again, he already...
I can think of a lot worse crimes in the world than a 17-year-old dude having sex. But it's still a crime, and it still shouldn't be... A college and college coaches shouldn't be condoning or turning a blind eye to stuff like that for recruiting. It's just, it's bad. And then, they, you know, I've seen things, well, what about a one-year suspension I mean, if they were underage, I'm fine with firing him. I really do. I think a, you know, a 1-year suspension, you're kind of getting off easy when you start crossing into those boundaries of underage and prostitutes. So,
all right. So if you want to talk about that or anything else, feel free to chime in. 713-780-ESPN. That's the HRNP listener line. You can call. You can text. And we'd love to have both. And if you want to reach out to us on social media, we are all on Twitter. And if you are, you know, having a hard time with the signal, as always, if you want to follow us anywhere and everywhere, download the app or go to ESPN975.com and listen live. Right here, the usual suspects, ESPN975. Used to be like distant cousins, fighting, playing cousins, old neighborhood buzzing, knowing that we buzzing, used to catch us on the roof or behind the stairs. I'm getting bits and I reminiscing all the time. Saying the side, bumping and grinding, wasn't nothing on our mind. It's time we learn to live a life of crime.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4, the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5. We were talking about Rick Pitino, and some of you want to chime in.
Well, I just want to say real quick before we go to the calls, Patrick Creighton on Twitter told me I wasn't entertaining, and I'll never forgive him for that. And I want him to know I hate him. He's not standing in the room staring at me or anything. I just want him to know that I hate him, and he's now blocked on Twitter.
Patrick, for Players Weekend for the MLB.
You don't need a mic. You can just stand there and shout.
Yeah, my Astros jersey is going to say he hate me. Thank you very much. Two shows nightly at the joke. Oh, no, that's not me. That's
oh, my God, no.
All right, so we continue to roll on. And I hope that door shut, because if not, we'll still hit Patrick. At least these two studios down, and it'll still come rippling through the walls. But if you don't know, he does host the Nate and Crate show on 1560. Cody and Clarence have both been waiting to get in here. Our man Clarence is first. He wants to get talk about Rick Pitino. Clarence, what's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up, man?
What's happening, Clarence?
And then it's just hotter than the Falcons when they realize they lost Super Bowl.
That's a Saints fan right there that has those kind of sayings. That's what
he
that is.
He could have gotten a lot worse. I didn't know where he was going, but we'll take that.
All right. I just have to say, there is no way in hell Rick Pitino had no anything about it. I mean, who is he trying to fool? It's like Joel over here trying to pretend like we don't know why they change the sheet twice a week.
Why they what?
He forgot the conversation already.
I didn't hear what he said.
He said that's like you over here pretending like we don't know why you don't change our sheets twice a week.
Because my wife does it. I don't have to.
I'm picking up what you're putting down, Clarence.
Of course.
I got you.
Of course. But, I mean, come on. It's not like you're watching an entire football team. You're watching 12, 13 guys. Now, I have to admit, he probably didn't know everything that was going on. But he's like, okay. Y'all gonna go and invite a couple of girls up, have some fun, then send them on their way around curfew time. Now, he probably knew that was going on, but he probably didn't know all the extracurricular activities that was going on, you know, laying down money to get the guys, you know, a little something. And of course, no one's gonna say anything because, you know, they're getting pissed off and everybody's happy and they were winning games and won championships, so. That's why I know why I was finally going to say it. It's not like he's talking about Bobby Knight or any other bad coach. They're talking about Rick Pitino. So that's all I have to say about that, guys. Y'all have a great weekend.
You too, buddy. Look forward to seeing you and Barry together with pictures down in Galveston tomorrow. This is what I'm saying. If these guys are happy, then if you're not going to hear from the ex-players. You're just not. But if they were unhappy or if there was like they were done wrong in the process, then you're going to hear from them. And they're going to be dipping them under the grease and saying Rick's this and throwing them under the bus and running them over.
Well, according to Eric Crawford and a tweet he put out, and he's at Eric Crawford on Twitter, It looks like in there was a 17-year-old prospect who engaged in oral sex and sexual intercourse with one of the prostitutes. Somebody also tweeted this thing to me, and I haven't read it all, but it also says, Prospect 2, who was 16 years old at the time of his visit, described how the former operations director handed him a condom and sent him to a room to engage in a sex act.
Yeah, he should be fired.
There should be a lot of people fired if this is true. A lot of people fired.
Yikes.
That's not good. You can't, I mean, if we're talking, again, I don't want to beat a dead horse here. 18-year-old men, it's a whole different thing. Even with prostitution, I get that's illegal. I'm not condoning prostitution.
It's still illegal, and it's also violating NCAA rules.
It is. It's bad. But you're talking about kids now. You're talking about a 16-year-old kid. Head should roll. I don't think this 5-game suspension would be enough now for me if this is true.
You got to believe he knew, too.
Yeah, he knew.
Because at the same time, look, this is such a cutthroat, dirty business anyway.
Everyone else is finding out about the sex parties, but he didn't. Everyone else knew about this except him. I'm not buying that.
And you also know that every kid, when he comes on a visit, has a schedule.
Wait a minute. What do you mean by that?
I see what you did there. Well, I was going to say when Clarence called, look, they were going to say, hey, go have your fun. Just make sure you clean the sheets. But at the same time, they all have a schedule, right? And you know the coach is going, hey, how'd that go? How'd everything go? Everybody take care of him? Everything good? Because it's a cutthroat business. It's a dirty business. You're going up against Duke and Carolina and all these schools recruiting the same, because you're not trying to get that middle-of-the-road 3-star. You're getting that 5-star McDonald's All-American, and you're in some elite company, but it's a cutthroat business. If you can go to your guy and go, he happy? If you know what I mean? Oh, good. And then you start getting them to sign on the dotted line. Hey, man, that's what I said. They're not going to change that because it's helping them, because they know without those recruits and without winning seasons, you aren't going to have that job for long. So every year in college basketball, especially with the one and dones, you got to you can't rest, because if you rest for a year, you can be out of a job if you go 500 in a program like Louisville, right?
Somebody texted and said, Nick is going to keep Joel's. I hope Nick is going to keep Joel's, quote, spank my ass, quote, as a drop, right? He wants you to do that.
Sure. I don't have any Joel drops.
I know. Like, you have my gunshots.
And I appreciate that.
He said, that'll come in handy later. Then he said, actually, the whole slap my hand or spank my ass is funny and uncomfortable at the same time. Got to go back and find that.
Okay. But it is true. I mean, that's, and I can give it to you again, Nick, but I mean, the biggest thing is that you self-impose sanctions because you hope that's enough. Because they'll go, oh, you already did it to yourself. We don't need to do any more.
Well, at least
that ain't gonna happen.
No, well, not in this case.
You think they went like that, or were they went in there thinking at least minimize the punishment, not get any punishment.
Fair point. They might not give him any, but right, they'll say, well, you already done this much. We'll go just a little further and hope for some leniency because at least you're admitting it. It's like the Andy Pettit versus Roger Clemens. When you admit and you apologize to at least a portion of it, you might go a little lighter on them. But I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Yeah, let's get Cody in here before we keep rolling. He wants to talk about the Patino issue. What's up?
Hey, you stole the words right out of my mouth on the first thing. Was that Rick Pitino's got to keep up with Duke and North Carolina.
Yeah.
And I couldn't believe Jay Billis said this morning on Mike and Mike that it's some kind of conspiracy theory. It's just plain and simple, it's a scapegoat. But the other thing I was going to say was, how did Louisville get... Rick Pitino got a 5-game suspension, and Syracuse got... Jim Boeheim got a 9-game suspension for something academic.
Yeah,
and they did the
I thought about Boeheim right away. But also, let's take into consideration how many wins Boeheim had to vacate.
That's what made me the maddest was because I'm a Syracuse fan. I'm also your resident Bills fan.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Cody.
Cody, we're with you, Cody.
But let me ask you this though: you went to Syracuse. You're an alum.
I was born about 50 miles from Syracuse.
Okay, so you grew up a Syracuse fan. I mean, do you really care at the end of the day if they vacate some wins from a season that's already happened? Just because you're saying that we're not going to show them in the record book, it doesn't take away from the fact that they beat those teams. And being smarter and getting grades fixed doesn't change the performance on the court. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know that I would care that much about that.
Cody, hang on one second before you get to that. But you're missing the point. I agree with you if it was a normal situation. This is keeping Boeheim from being the winningest coach of all time.
I wouldn't even care about that.
He cares about
that.
He does, but I'm asking a fan. I'm asking Cody, who's a Syracuse fan, why do you care about vacated wins so much?
Well, because of what Joel said. It's keeping him from being one of the most winningest coaches in NCAA history.
What does that
mean? He's at the end of his coaching career. He's not going to get 100-something wins back.
Well, I just don't have that kind of attachment
fans take a lot of pride that their program is associated with a guy that's one of the top one or two coaches of all time.
Yeah.
That to fans, that's a big thing.
The wins, but what about the titles? I think taking away the title, like the potential 2013, I think that's kind of a big deal.
I do too, but it's still, at the same time, it doesn't change the fact that they still won it. You may be taking away in the record books.
The banners come down. I think you got to give the rings back. I'm not sure. But, I mean, those are things that, you know, you want to say. You want to say you won it. You know, you want to say, and you got
you did win it. It was taken from you for something else, but you did win it. They can't take that away. You actually won it.
But, like, you know, look at the University of Michigan. Even before Mo Taylor. Mo Taylor, he was banned from campus. The banners came down. It was almost like, and there was a, there was like a ban where he couldn't even be on campus or anywhere near anything to do with Michigan for like 10 years.
But the thing is, like 30 years from now, you think anyone's going to care about that? No, they're not. These new students and everyone, they're not going to care about that. There's going to be somewhere where it says they had this title and it was taken from them because someone cheated on their grades. But everyone's going to know that that still existed. You're not going to wipe it out forever. And the fans that are, you know, that later on, they're not going to care about that. But I don't know. Maybe it's just I don't have an attachment to a school that.
Yeah.
Honestly, if they took away the Aggies' one made-up championship, it wouldn't bother me.
But I'm just saying, you know, if
here comes Lauren Pope with some hate.
There's one thing if you say it's an academic issue, because then you said, okay, the kid wasn't good in the classroom, but he played hard. But you're gonna now you can say, well, they wouldn't have had the championship because they wouldn't have these guys going to Louisville if they weren't getting extracurriculars. So,
yeah.
All right, well, we continue to roll on. If you guys want to talk about that, you can continue to chime in. But we've got plenty more to get to, and we got a half hour to do it before we turn it over to the Vegas boys, Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. So if you want to join in, please hit us up, 713-780-ESPN, or check us out on Twitter for the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5. It was my only wish to rise above the jealous cowards, my eyes give me the nod. I'm ready to die right here tonight. Motherfucker, it's my life. That's what they screaming as they drill me. ESPN 97.5.
Troublesome.
This is the usual suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sharara.
Shout out to happy birthday to Pac as Nick keeps the bump music in and out. Super good today. Appreciate that. I do want to point out the fact that I saw the looks both of you guys gave me about Clarence, but he had already said he was planning on going to Galveston, and we want to make sure that our listeners get out and support Barry Laminack in appearances.
I don't know what look you're talking about.
Oh, I saw it.
I don't know what look you're talking about. I don't think anyone listening saw the look either.
We didn't see it.
I don't know what
I mean,
look
I want people
about.
To get down there to see you at Sunfest.
I welcome everyone coming out and appreciate it.
Everyone.
Even
we
Trey?
Do
got to
work on
even
the,
Trey. Getting some cameras for your for you two just to see the facial reactions.
Yeah.
That we make to each other.
Yeah.
Well, it would be worth it. I am kind of pissed that I just got another email now from localmilfselfies.com or something like that. The hell is going on? I don't understand this. And it says open to activate your account, localmilfselfies.com, T2B1324. What? This is not good. I think the Blitz is getting me back for their woos. when I did the woo of the day for the gym of the day. I think this might be some payback.
I want to see if they start going at Granado and Raheel then, because they had Jeff Lunau woo today.
Oh, but yeah, but that doesn't directly affect. They didn't do it on the blitz.
No, but they, you know, like, they're gonna somehow do.
Well, I kind of went into their domain. You know what I mean? Like
you did?
Yeah.
No, I think it was worse that people turned you in.
Oh well, no doubt. Yeah. These snitching ass hoe listeners getting me in trouble. As soon as they were getting texts like right away when I did it. Oh, Barry did it. Barry and Joel. And then they were like, oh, yeah, it was definitely Barry then. Like, they threw you under the bus and you had nothing to do with it.
Well, they killed Raheel first, then they killed me, then they went to you.
I don't like it. I don't like it one damn bit. Somebody texted the show said, if the lights go off, this is from OU Mike. If the lights go off at Minute Maid this weekend, you may still be able to see the asteroids.
The internal She is here today.
When I walked out to go to the restroom, I went by. She looked at me like she was going to ask me a question. And then she stopped, and I was like, "What's up? You look like you were going to say something. What's up?" She goes, "So do I? When I save these audio files, I was like, I have no idea. And then I looked like I don't know what goes on around here.
Oh, she was probably afraid to ask me.
Why? Because you're mean. That's why. You're so mean.
You need to get the asteroid sound effects, and we can have her back in and just hear the. Psh, psh, psh,
psh, psh. Yeah, you're so mean to people.
Yeah, like the way I kicked off that intern off the computer yesterday, and you were like, God, Nick, you're so mean.
Yeah, I thought you weren't here for this, but he needed a computer to edit some podcast or whatever he does.
Hey, the Happy Hour program, the program that Mr. Gal's on, just so you know. Ooh,
that's a big one.
So he needed to edit that. So Kirsten was like, we'll just get one of the computers in the bullpen because all the computers are
there. No, she said it a little bit different.
She said, go ahead, a bit nasty.
No, she didn't say nasty.
She was just nasty. Like,
just ask one of the interns to.
She's like, just tell one of the interns to move. Kick them off or something. So Nick goes over there and goes, hey, buddy.
No.
Why don't you get your stupid face up and go somewhere else?
No.
I'll slap the crap out of you. I was like, Nick.
It was more like, hey, buddy, you mind if I use this computer? He's like, oh, yeah, I'm the intern. I can get up. That's how it went down. That's exactly what he said.
He caught the attitude at you?
No, he was like being nice. He literally said, I'm the intern. I'm going
to
get up. I'm like,
I told him to stop using that fake accent.
I even apologized.
I felt so bad for how scared that guy was.
Did you tell him to stop using that fake accent, too, and stop claiming to be Javier?
I don't know. Did you announce that you were going to Vegas on air? Did you mention that?
I did not.
Because someone just texted the show and said, who's going to be producing the show when Nick goes to Vegas with the Blitz? How do they know that? Did they mention it?
How do they know that?
The Blitz must have talked about it.
Maybe. I didn't mention it on the air.
Okay.
I didn't mention it on the air.
Yeah. And then this text doesn't make any sense. Joel is so white. I don't understand that.
Less
I don't know.
Like
you actually have a better tan than me. Well, maybe not. We're close. No, you do have a better tan than me. How's the chest and stomach? Is it white?
Well, I don't run without a shirt on. I mean, a tank top on, so no.
No, I definitely have to run with something on.
I might be able to blind some people until I work on that.
Yeah. Did you? Oh, you want to do that? Yeah,
you let's do that.
Yeah. And we'll do Cosby in a minute because I want you guys to hear this weird ass Cosby audio. He left the courthouse, and it was weird. But yeah, let's do the call first.
Keith, what's up?
Hi. How you doing?
How are you, man?
All right. Now I just had a quick question. In 20 years, or you know, because the show is so popular. In 20 years, what would be the title of the 30 for 30 for this Patino and Louisville story? And I'll hang up and listen.
Well, I was going to ask Keith. I'm guessing he had one in mind.
Yeah, I thought he had one in mind.
Did he not have one? Keith, you there?
And I'll hang up and listen. All right, now he's listening.
Oh, now he wouldn't want to hear himself. Yeah.
But, I mean,
damn it, Keith. Now he's hanging up going, oh!
It won't wait 20 years. It'll probably be 10. They're spinning these 30 for 30s out like every 2 weeks.
Calipari, One and Done, came out real quick.
Yeah.
I watched that one. That was pretty good.
What would
I tape
be?
Them all.
Something with the word stripper in it, I think, would be appropriate.
You think so?
Yeah.
We'll have to think about that. Too bad we didn't do that.
I know what it would be. The Duke one, what
the,
did they call
the 30
it?
For 30 would be called Cardinal Sin.
That's actually very, very
good. Thank you, guys. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
That one was
thank
pretty
you.
Impressive.
That
one wins.
Thank you. Thank you. No applause sound effects from the producer? No. You're a dick.
No.
By the way, you brought that up, but that was the comparison. The whole Duke thing.
Yeah?
The Duke lacrosse.
I forgot. What was the name
the
of
Duke
the
Duke lacrosse thing. I forget what the 30 for 30 was. Yeah.
But that was a good one.
Yeah.
It was. But again, ironic, the weird thing there was everybody crucified those guys from the start.
Oh, everyone. And you're a liar if you said, oh, no, let's wait and see. Everyone.
I'm not for sure there.
Now, watch. What I guarantee you guys, here comes a bunch of texts. I didn't say that. Whatever. Yeah, whatever. Everyone, may not have said it, but everyone, I think, just assumed.
Everyone had them dead to rights before the thing even got to a courtroom.
Fantastic lies.
Yep.
That what it was called?
Yeah, because when that guy made that incredible, the player, the captain of the team made that incredible speech, he used that word, everything that you've been told have been fantastic lies. He actually, that speech was amazing for that. He was probably 20 years old at the time.
But he went to he's kind of educated.
Yeah, smart. That's true too.
Hey,
yeah.
I just wanted to tell you guys, and I know we got to go to break, and then we'll do the Cosby audio afterwards because it's worth hearing. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to tell you, because speaking of watching TV, I got all teary-eyed again yesterday. Do you ever watch What Would You Do? With John Quinones.
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah. That's a great show.
Oh, I've seen those. Yeah, I've seen them, where they set up an actor.
I don't know about great, but it's some of them, it got kind of old.
John Quinones is like the TV Jesus. Like, he makes me live my life the right way just because I think he might be there. Like, this might be a setup. I better do the right thing. I think they should be like, what would John Quinones do with bracelets? Like, I feel like he could change lives. But they had one that really got me in the feels, man, because there was this dude, the actor and his son, right? So it was the setup. And the dad was like, I'm not buying you an ice cream. You're a loser. You lost today.
I saw that one.
Losers don't get ice cream.
I've seen it.
And this dude, which, by the way, he had a Bluetooth in his ear, so I'll forgive him for that. But he was so cool because he was like, hey, man, I know it's tough being a parent. I'm a dad, too. But buy the kid the ice cream, man. He's like, you know, you're all he's got. He looks at you as a role model. It's tough enough. Life is tough, man. I'll pay for it. Buy the kid the ice cream, man. Like, let him learn something different. And I'm not even doing it justice. What he said just floored me. It was so good. You really need to go find it. I was tearing up. Like, I thought I was going to cry. That's how good it was. It was so go check it out if you can find it. I may even find
it's a rerun. And it off the cuff to have something that was that meaningful.
Yeah.
And well put together.
And he was like, he was just touching him on the shoulder, like real sincere. And then they asked him, why'd you do that? Because he was saying, man, life is tough. I got kids. I know.
At least he touched him on the shoulder. Otherwise, it's he could be on Chris Wallace's show.
Yeah, that's
most
true.
Of them are pretty serious, but there's some funny ones too.
Are there?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like the vandalism one where they get like young smartass kids to like start damaging a car and they'd wait for people to say something to them.
Yeah.
And then they'd just say like these smartass comments to these like elderly people. It's hilarious.
My new favorite is when they do the bikes. They'll tie it to a tree and they don't see the ropes and they'll just leave it and people go to steal it.
Oh, yeah.
They take off riding and all of a sudden that rope hits and they flip over the front. I'm like, that's what you get, a-hole. That's what you get. I hope you broke your arm.
Just like on that BMX ramp when I was a kid.
But I'm always cringing. Even though I know they're doing something wrong, I'm like, man, what if they land on their head, dude? They're going to die.
No, I hope they get hurt. I don't want them to die, but I hope they get hurt. Damn that.
All right, let's get this break out of the way so we get to Bill Cosby before we turn it over to the Blitz. We are the usual suspect, and this is ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7, that's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Something to my godson Elijah and Lil Jon A. Correct.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
It's fun, it's sun, it's a volleyball tournament, and it's a beach party. It's Sunfest 2017, presented by Pacifico. So come celebrate with ESPN 97.5 tomorrow. Grab your sunscreen, your beach towel, your chair, and head out to East Beach to play beach volleyball. Look for hidden treasures in a beach dig, and hang out with your favorite sports radio hosts or me. Log on to ESPN975.com for all the details and find out how you can play to win a four-night stay at any Red Roof Inn in the USA. There's a bunch of them, too. So you can win a four-night stay. Go check it out. ESPN975.com for more details.
All right, partner, set it up.
All right, so we said that Cosby, well, as you know, they're still deliberating, right?
Yes, they've asked for another day.
Goodness gracious, get on with it. So they are deliberating Cosby's fate, and a couple of days ago, as he was leaving the courtroom, The reporters, of course, are all standing outside asking him questions, and he responded just maybe in a little different way than you would think a normal human being might. What? Wow. Why would you do that? That's the weirdest thing that you could, that's, of all the things that he could have said on the way out of the courtroom while the jury is deliberating. What is that?
My only guess is he must have got some good news from his lawyer or something. He's walking out like that.
Which I found it ironic because I'm sure that all the women that are involved in this probably had the same phrase, just like, hey, 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 just a little different. But that's just way too weird for me.
Especially since the lawyers always tell you they are going to be firing questions. Don't say a word because it can incriminate you.
Yeah. The last one makes him sound like he's lost his mind. Like, just doing it, you realize that Cosby's not altogether there. But if you listen to the pitch of the last one, he really sounds like he's in desperation mode. Like, do it one more time. Like, it's got to...
He sits on the last one.
Yeah, that's so weird. This used to be my hero. This used to be my idol.
Like, I'm looking for this audio on YouTube, and then, you know, it's only a 20-second clip.
Yeah.
And you know how YouTube, it rolls into the next video after the video that you're watching is done playing?
Right.
It rolls into that creepy interview he did with Sofia Vergara.
Yes.
Oh my God.
He's
so
such a weirdo now.
Would it have been better if he did the hey baby,
hey baby, report videos? No, that wouldn't have been better.
No,
not at all. Somebody said, "Dan Barry, that's all it takes to make you cry." Hashtag soft ass. When I was saying that, I saw that John Quinones. Yeah, we established that a long time ago. That I'm a crybaby. I cry. A sitcom will get me teary eyed if it's going well. So I've never ran from that. Yeah, I'm a crier. That's a fact, sir. Doesn't change. Especially when there's a dude that's really being heartfelt about kids and life. And yeah, it was touching.
And I don't know your experiences and your family and everything else, but I'll say this. I saw my dad do it, and it's happened with me too. When you experience tragedy and death and things like that and things in your life, it changes you. Because I used to I'm never going to cry at anything. And then, you know, you lose mom, dad, sisters, things like that, and other things start happening in your life when you start appreciating things more, and it definitely changes you to the point where you can be more emotional. I think that happened with me. I think it happens with a lot of people.
Yeah, and I've never really subscribed to the tough guy thing. I know it's, you know, there's this whole stigma with dudes about just being a man, and that's one of those things. I mean, crying has never been one of those things that I dudes cry. I mean, you know, it happens, and it's not something that I'm ashamed of. That when I cry at a movie in a heartbeat.
I mean, I read.
We did this whole show on movies that make us cry, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
we talked about 20 of them.
Yeah. Right? So whoever's, you could tell that's a new listener. This is not breaking news that Barry's a crybaby. So.
I read tweets and I go home and cry. I mean, after almost every show, I go home and cry. And if you do read the text messages, that most times that's enough to cheer me up as well.
That last one, that worries me.
Realize he did almost every voice on the Fat Albert show.
Yeah, he did.
And you think of the different variations from Albert himself to Bill and Russell. And what do they call it? Jabberjaw?
Yeah. There was I wasn't a huge Fat Albert fan, but I also didn't know it was Cosby for a while because I was young. I didn't really understand the whole dynamic. But I never went back and watched him again. But just to know that this dude that I grew up idolizing is doing all this, and now he's losing his mind over it.
Yeah,
it's sad. So sad. You're not going out with Tupac?
I thought he'd go out with the theme from Fat Albert.
No, I was going to, and then I said, no, I want to play this drop one last time.
No, you go out with Tupac, bro. This is a day that means to you. Go out with Tupac. You don't have to play that.
It's your guy.
I'm turning it down.
You go out like you want to go out, Nick. You don't worry about that other stuff.
Well, then play out. Then play Bill doing Albert.
No, you do.
Have a good weekend.
Hey, hey, hey.
hilarious.
So weird.
Uh-oh. Just wait for Russell to get in there.
I swear
he had him hit the button by himself.
I'm looking at it and it says,
this is literally
clean version.
This is
clean
literally version. The best ending to a show ever. We give Nick carte blanche. No, you go out how you want to go out. I'm pretty sure I heard other words I'm not going to mention that didn't get dumped.
Because that was like the second time the S-bomb was
no, said on it wasn't the S-bomb. At the intro of that song, go back and listen. I'm pretty sure he says something else, too. I'm not going to mention it.
No, I missed that part.
Oh, yeah.
You're definitely not going to mention it on the air.
All right. So that does it for another week of The Usual Suspects. We appreciate you listening.
Great. Track. Hold on.
Yeah, let him get him. We still got a minute left. We got 10 seconds left.
Okay, there you go.
All
right. Is this clean?
I think so.
Jeez.
I know for sure. You better get it right.
That's why I bleeped your bleep.
What? Hey, hey, hey.
That would be great. Yeah, there you go.
I stuck with one of the tracks that are...
in the system?
Yeah, because you know those are clean.
Yeah. Or well, they should be clean. It's Scarface and Tupac, but I'll take it.
All right, we appreciate you listening for another solid week of The Usual Suspects. We'll be back Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. right here, ESPN 97.5. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.